Bonjour everyone and welcome to Casser les Lignes, the French football podcast with the accent brought to you by Breaking the Lines, football opinions curated by professionals from all around the world. Thanks for listening to Casser les Lignes. This week is a bit of a special week for us. We are doing the Ligue 1 preview and I'm going to be joined by Baptiste from Le Classic Pod. We're releasing four episodes where we're going to talk about all the teams in Ligue 1. We decided to split those episodes, this preview in four. One episode will be about the teams fighting to avoid relegation. One of them about the teams that we think will end up into the middle of the table. One of them, the four teams that will fight for Europa League. And then the last one will be about the teams fighting for the title. Spoiler alert, Paris Saint-Germain will be in there. Listen to all four episodes. Ask us questions. Tell us what you disagree on. Get in touch with both Baptiste or myself. And also, of course, check the website Breaking the Lines for all the latest articles. And check the podcast of Breaking the Lines, Corta Linhas, the Portuguese podcast also has a pretty cool preview of the season by Zach Lowy. Thank you very much for listening to Casser les Lignes. Hope you enjoy those four episodes. Please subscribe, like, ask all the questions that you want. But first, music. Ligue 1 preview, episode 4. Oof, the top 4. The end of that Ligue 1 preview. And thank you for following us through. Excuse me, Jeremy Magan, your host, Baptiste, Le Classic Pod, with us. And we are talking about, of course, Ligue 1 this season. The season 22-23 was going to be fascinating. 20 clubs at the beginning, 18 at the end, with 4 relegation and only 2 promoted. And we've already discussed the teams that are going to fight to avoid relegation, the teams that are going to end, in our opinion, in the middle of the table, the teams that will fight for a spot in Europe. And now we're talking about, I don't know if we're talking about title contention, but at least we're talking about Champions League contention and which team can go there. I mean, at least I'm going to be talking about this because apparently Baptiste doesn't believe in one of the teams that we're going to approach.
Not just any team. Not just any team that I don't believe in.
Not just any team. I didn't put them behind me today out of respect, but we all know that I'm a Marseille fan. And so I'll start and I'll say that my top four was Marseille 4, Lyon 3, Monaco 2 and Paris 1. And your top 4, Baptiste, would be?
Lyon 4th, Rennes 3rd, Monaco 2nd and PSG top.
So we both see PSG winning the league. You had Rennes a bit higher than what I had them. We, I guess, are in agreement that Monaco and Lyon should be there this year. I think we probably would have said the same thing at the beginning of the season last year. And then Monaco were the one that were able to come back after a desperate last run. Let's talk first about the team that we disagree on, Olympique de Marseille. Marseille, with their usual chaotic off-season, it was doing so well qualifying for the Champions League and finishing second that they decided to part ways with the coach and to do some late...
Sorry, the coach decided to part ways.
True, the coach decided to part ways because they couldn't get Griezmann. Good on you, Jorge Sampaoli. It's funny because while all this was going on, I was watching, I don't know if you've seen that documentary, not documentary, but that series El Presidente.
No.
Very interesting series. If you're listening to the pod, please jump on it. It's on Prime Video. It's the story of how the FBI got onto FIFA for corruption because it all started from the Chilean president, football federation president, who was the president back when Jorge Sampaoli was the coach and won La Copa America. And they basically talk about the corruption in South America from ages ago, but also very specifically 2010 to 2016, and how getting through the corruption of South America has helped the FBI going through the corruption in FIFA. Anyway, that's a very interesting series because it's based on true stories, and they made it kind of a little bit more fun and a little bit more South American. It's in Espanol. It's an Argentinian or a Mexican series. But anyway, it's worth the watch for anybody who wants to know a little bit more about corruption in football, in case you thought there was none. Anyway, back to our sheep, as we say in France. Marseille. So Marseille, a lot of players were on loan last year. They've kept a few. They've lost a few more. William Saliba will not be coming back to Marseille, at least on the 31st of July.
No, he's not coming back. He's not coming back.
And why would he come back? He had a stellar season last year. Arsenal would be stupid not to keep him. Amin Harit is not back yet. He is in Germany, but they're trying to get him back, apparently. Marseille got rid of Luis Enrique, sent on loan to Botafogo in Brazil. They, I think it's a mistake, gave basically Mandanda to Rennes, offering one of their competitors a very good goalkeeper. I guess probably it's out of respect for Mandanda, but it's not the smartest move. Camara, of course, left on the free, and he's now at Aston Villa. And they've just sold Luan Perez to Fenerbahce in Turkey. As far as the arrivals, Paulo Lopez was confirmed, Guendouzi was confirmed, Sengiz Sunder was confirmed. It was finally time to buy Milik. And then they recruited Jonathan Klose, that we've mentioned, which is a great recruitment. And some less known player, Luis Suarez, striker at Granada last year. He was relegated from La Liga in second division. Isaac Touré, the young centre-back from Le Havre, 19 years old, towering centre-back. Chancel Mbemba, 27 or 31 or 33, we don't really know how old he is, who used to play at Porto and who was free and who apparently was clocked at 37 kilometers an hour or 32 kilometers an hour, I can't remember. So a fast centre-back. Nuno Tavares, another fast player, left-back from Arsenal. A bit of an unknown, Ruben Blanco, goalkeeper from Celta Vigo, who's on loan and who's going to be fighting it out with Paulo Lopez. And Samuel Gigot, who had signed, I think, back in January for free and who joined from Spartak Moscow at the end of the Russian season. More importantly, finally, Kevin Strootman is back and Marseille can only win if Kevin Strootman is back in Marseille. The new coach, and probably the reason why I see them high and you don't, is Igor Tudor. And it is the main unknown, Igor Tudor, Croatian coach, famously defender of Marcelo Lippi's Juventus, not always in the starting lineup, but one of those coaches that supposedly, because he was a player under Marcelo Lippi, is a great coach, just like Zidane, just like Deschamps. We haven't seen that yet. He's had half a good season at Hellas Verona. That was probably what he was.
He's no Ravanelli or Pirlo. All those Juventus successes, right?
He was Pirlo's assistant when Pirlo failed, so probably had his well in that. In Marseille fashion, the chaos has been there all of the off-season. Camoranesi came with Tudor and then left after 4 days. And the transfer has been all of world, and then nobody knew about Suarez coming in. There was a bit of a story for Klose. Anyway, Marseille, you don't see them finishing as high, most likely because of the chaos, of the instability, of the lack of your dear continuity. Go ahead, hit me.
Who makes the decisions at this club? I don't know.
Pablo Longoria.
It's Pablo Longoria, but I'm not sure how much he consults Igor Tudor about that based on some of the signings. You've talked about Tudor's quote-unquote inexperience. I know he's managed in Croatia. He's obviously managed in Italy. He's managed in Turkey. You know, it's not his first job, but it's a different, it's a slightly different environment here than Verona. Although I suppose for Croatia and Turkey, split, how you split, and I think Fenerbahce, you said, right? Mm-hmm. So are quite similar to Marseille in that sense. But it's, for me, it's just the sense that team hasn't been built by and for Tudor, right? So whoever would have come in after Sampaoli would have had a really tall task on their hands, with high expectations for the league and the Champions League, and players that have been successful playing in a particular style that fit them. So this is where there's a lot of uncertainty. Now, in a best case scenario, Tudor gets it. Tudor gets his players, gets them playing up to their strength. If he's a smart manager, he'll make that happen, right? Just because he didn't sign those players doesn't mean he can't be successful. But I'm a bit and I know we were talking about it a little bit offline as well, but I don't know. I don't really know what formation he's going to play. I don't know whether that formation is going to suit certain important players like Gerson, like Payet. And there's certain players like Milik who will either have a brilliant season or will be so underwhelming as to be disappointing. And a lot relies upon him. So I'm, you know, similar to what we talked about for some other clubs like Rennes, I can see a scenario where Tudor gets it right and they go up and they finish second again and they maybe win a game in the Champions League for the first time in, you know, 12 years or whatever it is.
But
I also see a scenario where it's utterly chaotic. No one has a sense of what style they want to play. Players are disappointed. Tudor gets sacked. You bring someone in and you have too much ground to cover to really be in that top four. That's where I was coming from. And that's why I had them sixth. And I'll just add that for me, in terms of talent, they have a lot of really talented players, but in terms of attacking talent, they relied a whole lot upon Payet last year. And I'm not sure who's stepping up to help him this year. And he's what, 34, 35? So that's my main worry for them.
I think I obviously agree with most of what you're saying. I think that, I mean, A, since Tudor came up, they recruit people under Tudor or under Longoria's choice, but they did get a few players thanks to what Tudor wanted and his system. So I think we're looking at a coach who's going to play in a 3-4-2-1 most likely. And so those two wing backs that they just got, Klose and Nuno Tavares, work in what he wants to do. Defensively, they got the three defenders. I think it's going to be Jigo, Chalaitatsar, and Isaac Touré. Then, yeah, if you start looking at what's going on up front, it's a bit harder to see exactly what's going to happen. I think first we have to right a wrong. Marseille won against Olympiacos in Champions League in 2021, so it's not been any distance.
Sorry.
Haven't won a game. I'm just kidding. But they've kept players. They've kept... Yeah. Rongier, Gay, Guendouzi, Gerson, Payet, your midfield core is there. Defensively, it's a bit scary. The goalkeeper, it's definitely scary. But we'll see, I guess, what he does. Tudor, apparently, from the preseason, from what we've been told, he's almost the exact opposite of Sampaoli, but with the same intensity. So the intensity is when we lose the ball, pressing high, trying to get the ball quickly, and then trying to play very quick to get to the goal as fast as possible, not trying to do a handball style of position football like Sampaoli was doing. Is that going to change when he coaches Marseille? Most likely, because when you play against a team who parks the bus, you can't do that all the time. Otherwise, you expose yourself. But this is what he's trying to do. I think it's a season where for a lot of players, sometimes I'm wondering if it's hopeful wishing of what is actually going to happen. But for a lot of players, it's a pretty important season. You know, for Payet, it's done, but Guendouzi wants to play the World Cup. Milik wants to play the World Cup. And they want to be able to represent their country on the bigger stage, whether it's the World Cup or later on. So there's a lot of players that have something in the balance that matters. And there are a lot of players as well that need to prove themselves. And I need to prove that they have a certain level to go back to their club or to just get a bigger transfer. I'm talking about Nuno Tavares. I'm talking about Samuel Gigo that no one knows. Players that need to sort of rebuy themselves a reputation like Leo Banerjee. Yeah. So there is... Oh. Yeah, right? It could be everything and nothing. I think we're not going to know what's going on with Tudor for like 2 months.
No.
And then... if he's lucky, he's getting good results. If he's unlucky and he gets bad results, he's going to get the axe. And then the talent is still there. And Marseille, Longoria, if Longoria knows anything, is that he's not allowed to fail at Marseille. He's still beneficiate that aura of since he came, the club is getting better. But he knows he can't make any mistakes. So if nominating Tudor is a mistake, he'll find another coach that is not a mistake. And I think, and that's why I put them finishing fourth, because with the talent that is in that team, even if they fail to start with, they change the coach, they'll go back up. And that's how I see it. Maybe in what did Monaco last year, I think Payet is a great player and he's never been better than when there's a new coach coming to see him. So he might be double motivated this year if it changes twice. But it's, and I know that you know that as well, it's a team that on paper shouldn't be anywhere near under a fourth place. There's too many players that are supposedly talents who we haven't seen performing to the point where they're supposed to perform. But you know, you were talking about, I think it was Rennes, where every single position was doubled. If you remove the left-back position, which is a little bit of an unknown there, although you still have Amavi Kolasinac behind Tavares, at Marseille, every post is almost tripled. So it looks like the job has been done well. I feel like there's just this, as you know, this innate chaos that it could stop whenever.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree on you on the depth. I think Kolasinac. Lirola. That they've
2 years ago, he's the best right back.
So I mean, Lirola, I'm a little bit higher on than Kolasinac, for example. But based on what he showed us last season, he was terrible. I think Marseille, like you say, have a lot of talent. They certainly in midfield, they have a lot of players that I really like. I'm a huge fan of Rongier. I think he's criminally underrated. You know, I like Guendouzi. I like Gerson. I'd rather have a Rongier in my side, frankly.
Be good to see Rongier in the midfield this year.
Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I've mentioned my reservations about the strike force, especially if you're going to ask those guys to press. I'll need to be convinced. I need to see it to believe it. And then defensively, you know, that back five, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Klose, but the rest of that back five is pretty scary. And I still don't know why they got rid of Luan Perez, who brought balance either as a left wing back or as a left-sided center back. And the goalkeeping situation doesn't fill me with confidence either. So there's still, for me, I look at Monaco, I look at Lyon, and I look at Rennes, evidently, because that was my choice. But I think no squads are better than, as a whole, I think no squads are better than, certainly for Ligue 1, than Marseille. They don't have, for me, Rennes, for example, doesn't have as many holes. As because if you lose Truffert, you put Meling, and Meling would start over Tavares at Marseille for me. So you know, it's a personal view, but I think there are too many flaws at Marseille. Even if you take out the environment and the context and the uncertainty about the coach, there are too many flaws at the moment for me to see them finishing fourth. But you know, I've seen crazier seasons at Marseille. And like you said, if that is totally true, if it doesn't work out in the first part of the season, they will get rid of Tudor. They will find somebody to come in because somebody will take on that beautiful challenge that is Marseille, and somebody will make that group of talented players click. So, and we've seen from Monaco, they were nowhere with Kovac, and they had a wonderful run at the end of the season and they finished third. So, the potential is still there, but at the start of the season, I'm quite uncomfortable about Marseille in the top four.
It's going to be a great season to witness for the club of the Stade Vélodrome. Let's talk about the other three. Let's go just a little bit north. Lyon, Olympique Lyonnais. The coach is still there, Peter Both. You said it at the very beginning.
Is he? Does he want to? Podcast.
Yeah, all right. He's still held hostage in the City of Lights. Lyon has lost Léo Dubois. Apparently, the fans of Lyon weren't too unhappy about it. And some young players that have either been loaned or that were at the end of their contract. Tanguy Ndombele wasn't kept. He's back at Tottenham. And Jason Denayer wasn't kept either. And he's still with that club, I think. I don't think he's...
Yeah, well, good riddance. I don't know who's advising him, but good riddance.
He was good at one point, poor Jason. The recruitment of Lyon was under the sign of the famous Lyon DNA. Corentin Tolisso is back. Alexander Lacazette is back. They've recruited Johan Le Penant from Caen, who's apparently a very promising young defensive midfielder. And then they got Nicolas Taliafico, the left back from Ajax. Oh, yeah, they haven't kept Emerson as well, of course, the left back from Chelsea. And then the squad, besides that, hasn't changed much. Paqueta, whose shirt is behind me, is still here as it stands. And I think it'd be good for Lyon if he stays. Kakere, I think, most importantly, is still here. Malo Gusto is still here. Lukeba is still here. Joe Mandé is still here. Boateng is still here. I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't think it's their choice that he's still here.
Yeah, I don't think it's his choice either. I think he wants to go. And Aouar is still here. And same thing. I don't think it's their choice or his choice. The last game, it was against Inter yesterday. I've seen a bit of the highlight. And Aouar looked like he's already gone. Anyway, that's a squad that, you said it, the coach is probably the biggest question mark, but besides that, there's just a lot of talent in this team, and I think bringing Lacazette is really going to be a huge change. And when I see this team, when I see Lacazette on one side at front, Tete on one side, and on the other side either Toko Ekambi or Dembele, and then you have Paqueta, Fevre, Reina Adelaide, and in the midfield Kakure holding it next to Tolisso, it just looks like such a strong Lyon team this year.
Yeah, a strong side, a bit of a, you know, Champions League recruitment, frankly. Players who are on big wages at big club, even Tagliafico, right, comes from Ajax. That's a Champions League club. Probably bigger at the moment than Lyon, doesn't matter what Lyon fans say. And so, you know, XXL recruitment, but I'm not really sure they've addressed the weaknesses that we saw last season, right? I mean, I like Lacazette. I like Tolisso. I don't know enough about Tagliafico because he hasn't played that much over the last few years. And I'm really enthusiastic about Lupinot, who looks really, really good. But you still have about 25 midfield players who don't seem to be playing the position in best positions. I'm not sure a striker, you know, Dembele was much derided, but he was still, certainly towards the second half of the season, he was pretty good. For me, the weaknesses were very clear. Fullbacks and central defense, it's a defensive spine, effectively, because at the moment, they're saying to Diomande, who's been injured for a year, come back and be the leader because Lukebe is still too young. And then they're asking Gusto, who I like, but showed some understandable deficiencies in his game because he's learning the trade, because he was trained as a midfielder. You're asking him to be your fullback for the whole season.
In a back four.
When he's more, at the moment, his profile fits more that of a wing back. So, and then you're asking Kekre or Le Penant to carry to be the water carrier for a whole midfield that seems uninterested in necessarily tracking back. So it's the same questions. Ultimately, midfield and going forward, the talent is just so overwhelming. You know, you've got, you know, Kakre, you've got Tete, everybody hates Toko Ekambi, but he's infuriating, but his stats, you know, say something about the type of player he is, whether you like him or not. Aouar, I think, has become a scapegoat and I think has been paraded left, right, and center across midfield over the last 3 years that he doesn't know what position he plays in anymore. You know, and Paqueta has been played across the park as well. So, and on top of that, you had youngsters like El Arouche, Da Silva, who are meant to be really good, Le Penant, and Tolisso, and there are too many people for too few spaces. So I'm more worried about the balance of the squad and the atmosphere, because it's looking like it's too big a squad at the moment. That's my, and on top of that, we've talked about Peter Bosch. I have no idea what that man stands for. I don't know whether he wants to be there. He seems very passive. His team one day plays wonderful football where they look untouchable. Actually, it's not even one day. in the first 25 minutes, they look untouchable. The next 20, that it looked like a fourth tier side that's completely disorganized. So it's I've banked on them finishing fourth, and that's, I'm not going to say that's on talent alone, but I think there's more talent there than at Marseille, for example. And I think they'll finish there. Yeah.
They're not playing any European game this season. They didn't qualify last year. So the rotation is somewhat limited for the amount of player that they have in that squad. It's definitely a tough, heavy squad.
And look, you know, as I like Lacazette, I like Tolisso. Tolisso's always injured. He's barely played in preseason. Now, maybe that's just, you knew that you're ramping him up to be fit a bit later. You're not counting on him in the first few days of the season. You know, Lacazette and Tagliafico, there are question marks around them, you know, that are genuine. I think Lacazette is still a very good Ligue 1 striker, but he barely played over the last 6 months of the season. And Tagliafico looked like Ajax were quite happy to get rid of him, and he wasn't their first choice. So that raises questions, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess I have my doubt, but I guess I see them working out rather than not. But yeah, it'll be as every other team, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they do recruit an experienced centre back, because they really need that to be able to stabilize this defense. Let's go back to southeast of France. French Riviera, Monaco, and Philippe Clément, the coach, and Monaco, who's been, quite interesting in the transfer window. Aurélien Tchouaméni is gone, 80 million euros to Real Madrid. Strahinja Pavlovic is at RB Salzburg. Pellegrini is gone. Aoulou finally signed for Strasbourg, and probably we should write a book on Aoulou's career and how Strasbourg made a lot of money on him. I think they sold him 12 million to Monaco, then had him on loan for two seasons straight without paying his salary, and now they just put him back for 3 million. So well done, Strasbourg. Club well run, and who knows how to make business. Monaco has recruited Takumi Minamino from Liverpool for 15 million, Brill Embolo from Mönchengladbach for 12 million. Thomas Didion, a bit surprisingly, came from Cercle Bruges and is going to be Alexander Nübel's number two. Nübel, who's on loan until the end of the season, and then he's technically going back to Bayern Munich. It's interesting to mention. Lecomte is back, and then was let go, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to play in La Liga. Yeah, Espanyol. And that's about it. A few youngsters have come back, and let's see if they end up having some time or not. Magnus Akliush, I think, is probably the most known of those youngsters, and hopefully get some time to play. He played in the cup a couple of times last year, and he was quite impressive. But the squad, basically, besides Tchouaméni, hasn't really been weakened. There's still word that maybe Benoît Badiachil would leave the centre-back. But otherwise, it looks very much the same. It looks like Matazo would replace Tchouaméni, and then that they have just more solutions up front. Up front, it starts to be crowded. Sofiane Diop, Takumi Minamino, Willem Goebbels, Gelson Martins, Crepin Diatta, Anthony Moussaba, Kevin Woland, Wissam Ben Yedder, Brill Embolo, and Myron Boadu. 10 strikers who potentially would be starters in like half of the teams in Liga, and all in one club. It looks like Monaco, when they were first bought by the Russians like 5-6 years ago, and they were doing the presentation with like 45 players I've signed this summer. What do you think about Monaco, Baptiste?
They're the best armed team to challenge PSG. If anyone's going to put up a challenge, they've got depth. They've got young up and coming talent. They've got quality in every position, pretty much. Certainly for Liga. And Clément seemed to have settled on who his starting 11 was, with, you know, counting on certain players to bring a different dimension. So Embolo strikes me as that, when Ben Yedder needs a rest or you need a change of dynamic up top. So, you know, it's surprisingly stable, I suppose, their summer, which is a change. But they're just They looked really well drilled. They looked really well organized under Clément once he really got his hands onto the team. And there's talent there. The only question mark I would have is around their defense. So I really like Badiachil. I also quite like Dizassi, but you know, they do suffer from brain farts here and there. And then they're still young, they're still learning. And apart from and the loss of Tchouaméni means they've lost a bit of a shield as well. So that's the only area of concern, because I think the rest kind of all fits together quite nicely, actually.
Surprisingly young squad. Ben Yedder's 31, Voland is 30, and then you got Aguilar 29, and then it's Minamino 27, and then everybody looks like they're 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, certainly in defense, except Maripán maybe 28, but they're all 21, 22, 23. It's a young team. I mean, obviously, Philippe Clément is used to it. When he was at Bruges, it was youngsters everywhere. Yeah. But this year, I mean, they start their first game is on Wednesday against PSV in the Champions League qualifiers. But yeah, they will need all their strength. And I'm looking forward to seeing Monaco play. I mean, if the 10 games undefeated, 9 straight wins to finish the season, if it's anything to go by, they'll go well. And I think the luck that they have with a player like, to mention him, Wissam Ben Yedder, it doesn't matter when that's going to happen. He's going to have a streak of 5-6 games where he's going to score 8-9 goals, and it's going to happen 3 times during the season, and then he'll finish with his 25 goals, and he'll be as important regardless if he plays 5 or 90 minutes. It's talented, it's deep. I agree with you. It's the one squad that can challenge Paris Saint-Germain based on talent alone, and on the fact that they can do that for a whole season. Will they do it eventually? We'll see, but it'll probably be we will transition to Paris Saint-Germain right now. In my opinion, if Paris Saint-Germain doesn't win the title, it'll be Paris Saint-Germain who lost it rather than another team who win it once again, right? Because they are the favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's much to add to that, frankly. I think on the Monaco side, it's not only the talent, it's just the fit. It's, you know, we've talked about question marks at Marseille, at Lyon, you know, there's some obvious weaknesses and questions of fit. At Monaco, I don't get that feeling at all. I think they all know their role. They all know the hierarchy. And that's why even players like Minamino and Bolo, I don't think they've necessarily come in to start. And I don't think they've been promised that they will start. I think they've been told, we've got a long season ahead. Get ready to be flexible. Sometimes not even play in your favorite position, but you know, you'll get some game time, and at some points in the season, you'll be an important player for us. So it seems like everything's been designed quite nicely, calmly, which is a change at Monaco.
Yeah, indeed. So Paris Saint-Germain, Ligue 1 champions, a busy off seasons. Colin Dagba, we mentioned it, has been loaned to Strasbourg. Xavi Simons, the 19-year-old, left on a free and is now playing for PSV. He scored a goal in preseason last night. Angel Di Maria left on a free for Juventus. Martin Bulka is in Nice. Alphonse Areola is in West Ham. That's 2 out of the 45 goalkeepers that they had, which is gone. And on the recruiting side, they got Vitinha. I think it's probably the one of the main guys that have got €41 million from Porto. Nuno Mendes was confirmed, €38 million from Sporting. Nordi Mukiele, the French international, has joined from RB Leipzig for €12 million. Hugo Ekitike is coming from Stade de Reims. And then a couple of players back from loan, Sarabia, Kalimuendo, and then Rafinha, Pembele, Sergio Rico, who probably won't see much of the play. Of course, the narrative is Mbappé stayed, Galtier is the new coach, and Paris Saint-Germain needs to win everything. It's a team that has a very deep squad. I'm trying to remember which players have been asked to stop training with the main team. It's Kerrer, Kurzawa, Wijnaldum, Herrera, Draxler, Rafinha. I think that's it. Gay is still kept so far. I think they actually don't want to lose Gay.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing with Kurzawa is he'd already gotten started before they put him in the loft.
He's been in the loft for 5 years.
You know, he's been chilling out there for a little while. But yeah, I mean, they've had an interesting transfer window. I think we've talked about it a couple of times. Like, for me, they should focus on getting rid of a lot of people. I think that's what they are trying to do, because you need the club to be healthy. And when you've got players who remain professional, I'm sure, but you know, aren't that interested because they know they're not going to play. It's also a difficult context for the player himself, right? So I think that should be their focus, because otherwise, in terms of the transfers they've made, they actually make a lot of sense. You know, Vitinha will bring a bit of movement, you know, from what I've been told, because I haven't really seen him play, but, you know, will bring a bit of endeavor, dynamism in midfield so that you don't overly rely on Verratti. Mukiele can play center back in a three, or, you know, right back or right wing back. And then Ekitike is, I don't know, but he's, you know, when Neymar and Messi will be gone, he'll have had at least a year of PSG football in his legs, and he will know the club. So, and obviously Nuno Mendes was just a no-brainer. So I think if you look at that, plus a few players that they have brought back on loan, which I would like to see, I don't know how much of a chance they'll be given, but certainly in Liga, I don't know why Timothée Pembélé, for example, can't give someone a rest at right back.
He's injured at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. He's still coming back from an injury, something at Bordeaux, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And why, you know, Pablo Sarabia might not also give a breather. If they accept those roles, then, you know, I think they've addressed what they need to cover. So it's about getting rid of dead wood and maybe adding, you know, I could see it left back. The question has always been about whether Bernat stays fit or not, because I think if he stays fit, he'll probably a good secondary option. So they seem to have actually done this transfer window quite smartly at the moment.
Firepower is crazy, yeah? Neymar, Messi, Sarabia, Mbappe, Kichike, Icardi, Calhoun-Mendo. And then in the middle, we mentioned Vitinha, Verratti, Paredes, Rafinha, Gay, Wijnaldum. It's just talent everywhere. You have to win the Liga.
But that's where maybe I think the 3-4-1-2 by the looks of it sounds really smart, because you've got nothing in midfield apart from, you know, as in creatively, when you obviously Vitinha looks like that now, although he's got Vitinha and Verratti can play that role, I think, probably together, because otherwise Paredes and Danilo are just bang average, right? So good to focus on and unleash Hakimi and Mendes in positions that fit them better, and actually get that front three to sort of play in positions that fit them a bit more. I think Messi as a 10 makes more sense than the way he was played last year, and then Neymar is not staying after this season. I think so. You know,
we'll answer that when we do a special episode about the question that we're asked on Twitter about the preseason. But I think, you know, the story will be, you can't win a championship or even a Champions League if you only have 8 out of your 11 players who are making the effort. And Galtier's main mission will be, how do I get Neymar, Mbappe, and Messi to defend, really, to all be as a unit. Surprise, surprise! We are seeing Paris Saint-Germain winning the league. If they win the league this season, they'll be their 11th league title, which will put them all the way at the top of the team who've won the most Ligue 1 in history of our competition. Because right now they are leveled with Saint-Étienne with 10, but they will be the first one and the only one to win 11 titles. So a bit of a historic one for Paris Saint-Germain in the middle of that season with the World Cup in Qatar. Anyway, this is the end of the Ligue 1 preview. Thanks, Baptiste. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We went through all 20 teams. We hope that you guys enjoyed it listening at home. They'll be released, of course, over the course of 4 days. But it'll be good to hear your thoughts. And of course, we'll get back to it later on this season to see how well we predicted what was happening and who was dead wrong when Marseille gets relegated and Rennes wins the league.
What's your prediction that scares you the most, as in that you see has the potential to so massively backfire in your rankings?
Either like a very disappointing season for like Toulouse or Reims, who end up being relegated when I really don't see it, or Lyon again completely forgetting to play and ended up again 8 or 9. Everyone else, I feel like I'm pretty okay. Like if Marseille doesn't finish 4th, they finish 5th. You know what I mean? I don't see them going much further down. But yeah, I think those three teams are maybe potentially the one that can fail. You?
I feel like I've really backed Rennes quite highly, so I'm sure that will massively backfire.
They couldn't make it finishing 3rd on a season where I think that they've overperformed.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, easy, don't worry. yeah, it's the Rennes, Marseille, Lyon are the ones that, are the predictions very that worry me the most. Yeah.
A lot of unknown for those ones. That was a lot of fun. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Again, please like, subscribe, have a look at the Breaking the Line website, have a look at the threads that Baptiste have written on Twitter that are a great compliment to what we've just done. And there's a last episode coming up where we're going to answer to the question that we had on Twitter, the episode that we'll name the mail, according to Baptiste, and that's what we're going mailbox. To get to.
The mailbox,
of course. And that will be released separately. Thanks for following that Liga preview, and we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Don't hesitate if you have any questions.